When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On that, and you know what, man, I'm so into Zeppelin and some of the British rock and roll and their influences.
Yeah,
and it all, you know, I know enough to know that those guys were all coming to America and they were watching guys like B.B. King,
well,
and Muddy Waters, and they're spending time in the South, and that's where rock and roll is birthed from. There, they took that and put their own twist on it, you know.
Well, here's the thing, bro. These dudes. All right. The British invasion is nothing other than the American invasion brought back to us. Because it was so racist at the time here in the States that these black dudes, the only way that they could get any fucking real moolah was to go to England. Yeah. And Europe and play those venues, right? And they did. And those cats, just like you said,
we're all showing up over there watching.
Eric Clapton actually played with B.B. King when
he was a cream?
When he was just a cream in his dad's pants. Eric Clapton was a nobody. He was the only, and he learned from B.B. King and he adopted B.B. King's style.
There's a story about Eric Clapton. Have you heard that story of Eric Clapton and fucking Jimmy Page?
No.
Both being in New York and going to hear, I think it's Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix play. And then they both headed back to England and started recording shit.
Yeah.
There's a famous story
yeah.
where they both got yeah. there to see it and yeah. they both hopped on planes and was like, yeah. this is what we got to do.
Yeah.
They went back. You know that, right? You've heard that?
I actually read that in Jimi Hendrix's biography.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something, Jimi Hendrix. And
that you're talking about the birth of that shit, bro.
Listen, Jimi Hendrix was also taught and learned from B.B. King.
Believe it.
And so all those dudes, all that guitar shit you hear, Joe Walsh played with B.B. King.
Crazy,
right? Leon Russell played with B.B. King. Frank Sinatra was friends with B.B. King. He was one of the first blues guys to get established in Vegas.
Let me ask you something.
He was a gambling fiend too.
The whole jazz thing that kind of came prior to that.
Yeah.
The 20s, 30s, Bird Parker and you know, Billie Holiday and
Chet Atkins,
man, dude.
Okay, Art Pepper, who was in Synanon, Pepper, the
Dizzy
jazz,
Gillespie, all these guys, right?
Right, he was in Synanon.
Those dudes, that heroin was so prevalent, man, back in those days in the jazz Harlem days, man.
Yeah,
crazy, brother.
Bro, all of these people. There's a lot of famous jazz people that went through Synanon to kick heroin on the kicking couch. Abso-fucking-lutely. But you know what? In the biography, B.B. King tried it once.
Oh, really?
He played a gig in New York, right? At the, I want to say it was one of the, not the Apollo, but it was one of the big fucking theaters over there, whatever, right? On the Chitlin circuit.
Right.
All right. Right. Green Book, Playbook, whatever the fuck that movie is. And B.B. King went over there and he did it. And now one thing about B.B. King was he was a fuck master. This dude was fucking bitch. Every woman he married knew that the dick was on rent.
Right.
Right. I won't. And he, in public, he didn't. He didn't embarrass anybody, but they knew. And he had a book about as thick as fucking Schmitty's fingers, full of women in all different towns that were ready to fuck long before Tinder. There's Tinder. He probably would have wiped his ass with Tinder.
Right.
Okay. So he It's fucking all these bitches. And finally one in New York got him, right? It's like, yeah, let's go. And he goes, and as they're getting ready, she pulls out the rig, and he's like, what's that? And she's like, I'm gonna, you know, get my blah 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 on.
Fix on.
Yeah. So he tries it. He blacks out, right? And he shows up to the gig with his pockets all turned out, shit stolen, fucking tie ripped off,
right,
out of breath. And the guy handling it said, what the fuck are you doing? If you fuck with that heroin shit. And back then, B.B. King was still a Southern idiot, right? Like a farm boy idiot.
Yeah, he didn't know the city.
He didn't know the city. And that was the only time he did it. He never overdrank. He drank. He smoked a little bit of weed. And that was it. He did not go crazy. His vice was Keno. He would fly to, when he was making coin, he would fly to Vegas every night, lay a bunch of Keno bets, and then come back. And he must have lost $40 million in Keno when they calculated it all out. Guy was a betting fool. In fact, he lost his road manager because the road manager couldn't stand to watch him lose all that money. Drove him nuts. That's a true fucking story. But the craziest thing is, right, so when you read about B.B. King, and he never played this down. He had like 18 kids from 18 different women in different 18 regions of the world, right? And they followed him around, and he never contested paternity. And his dad, Albert King, I think was his name, was a real quiet, hard, Southern black man, right? And he would never be like, I love you, son. And no. He'd just say, you all right? And B.B. King would be, yes, sir. He called his dad, sir, all the way until he's fucking dead.
Yeah.
And you go, all right, that was about as good as you were going to get from the dad, right? And when he said that, when women, so his dad gave him this advice about pussy and kids. Dad said, if a woman comes up to you and says, you're the father of the child, the only question you got to ask is, was you up in there? If you was, you're the dad. That's a true story from the fucking Bagaru. And B.B. King, so he said, yeah, I'm the father to all these people. And he paid school. He did everything, right? Fucking gentleman. But, one thing that didn't come out until after he was dead, and this biography comes out, was that his sperm didn't work. These were none of his biological children. And he knew it. And he didn't contest it. I think it was part of his blues legend and part of his being.
Wow, dude.
And why didn't his sperm work? He confided to the doctor. There was three episodes. Number one, when he was maybe like 15 and working on the farm, he was bent over doing something, and a big horned ram from like half an acre away just fucking ran and fucking popped him right in his butt and balls so hard that it ripped up his pants and ripped his testicles out. And we're talking in a time in the deep South Mississippi where it's not like a walk-in clinic down the road.
Oh, dude.
So they just laid him up in the bed with swollen, bloody testicles and put
hoping like, he didn't die.
Yeah. Put some tree sap on it, whatever. Fucking shit healed after 2 months, whatever. He's trying to fuck bitches all over the place, even then, right? Like, he'd go to church, and the only reason he went to church was because he knew that all the women were there dressed in the night, and he 15, 16, 17, he was trying to plug, boy. And I understand. So, second thing is, right, he got,
I understand.
I do. He got the mumps. And when you get the mumps back then and it goes like untreated, it can also fuck up your fertility. But they didn't know that back then.
Right.
All right. Final thing, right? The Holy Trinity of impotence. Boy, I don't even know if I can tell you this. He gets gonorrhea, 21. Okay. The clap. He goes to a country doctor because his testicles are swollen. I mean, we're talking like cantaloupes. And he tells the country doctor, he's like, I don't know what to do. The country doctor says, well, we got to drain him. So he takes B.B. King, king of the blues, father of many children, takes him and his swollen nutsack out back the country doctor's home. where there was a stump, has B.B. King put his swollen gelatinous nuts on the stump and then raises a huge book and just, bam, brings him right down on his swollen testicles. Because that's how they used to drain testicles back then. B.B. King blacked out, passed out, probably got PTSD.
Yeah.
Kept that shit a secret for a long time till he finally could tell his doctor later in life what happened and why his swimmers weren't working.
Oh, boy.
Imagine that. So this guy, right? I mean, all right, Sean right now.
I'm in pain. Yeah, I'm in pain.
He's in pain. His eyes are squinted closed. He's got his forehead on his forearm.
Do you remember have you ever seen somebody who would get like a little calcium deposit?
No.
You never seen those?
Right? What is that? What do you mean?
It's weird. It's like a little calcium deposit, and it grows a little, it looks like there's a marble right on your wrist. It usually ends up right here.
Okay.
People get them sometimes. And I remember my sister got one on her hand, and my dad was like, oh, it's calcium deposit. The only way to fix it is you got to crack it. You got to hit with a book.
Wow.
So my sister was like, no way. So she did all sorts of shit, and the thing wouldn't go away. And it was like this lump, dude, right there. And then finally my dad convinced her, oh, you gotta do this. The only way it's going to get ready. So she's like, oh, man. And my dad took a dictionary and hit that thing, dude. And, dude, right when he hit it, like, nothing happened. It did not go away, right? My sister was like, tears. It worked. Next morning, she wakes up, gone.
Wow.
Gone. So in the old days, they were kind of like, it was kind of stuff like that.
I know,
you got to break it. You got to break it open and let it drain.
I mean.
Hey, look at, he lived.
I mean, dude, not only did he live, but he went on to become one of the most prolific, greatest musicians of all time. But I just, you know, in my mind, right? And maybe I'm biased, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But if you go to a doctor about your dick shit and he's taking you out to a stump, whatever you got, there's nothing good can come from a stump. There's no medical thing that's possibly good from a stump. As soon as I see, put your balls on a stump, I'm not following that. Like, I already know what, there's nothing, it's not put your balls on the stump, let me, you know, pour a nice oil on your junk. No. There's going to be some smashing. And if you don't
smash and grab.
And if you don't smash and pass out. And if you don't know, like, if you can't see that train coming, then you deserve to get hit. That's all I'm saying. You could be the president of the United States. I am not putting anything of my testicles on a stump.
No, sir.
Don't need that. So that might be for me from the B.B. King thing. That might be. But yeah, Robert Johnson. He played with Robert Johnson. He learned from Lonnie Johnson. Dude, his driver was Bobby Bland. His driver.
Bobby Bland.
Yeah, his kid driver. He fucking hung out with Frank Sinatra. He met two presidents. Right, he was the first blues man to be invited to the White House. He was around for so long that he got money, lost money. He's pretty much like, I mean, Willie Nelson is the B.B. King of country. That's how I'll say it. Willie Nelson is the B.B. King of country. B.B. King's not the Willie Nelson of blues. Willie Nelson is the B.B. King of country. Yeah, B.B. King, and his real name was Riley. He was also one of the first black DJs. He was also, I don't know, man. This guy had so many firsts, bro, in a time when nobody was listening to anything about black people and the white crowds. It's an amazing story because he couldn't even play all that good. Do you know who else was one of the guys that carried his bags and did shit for him? Ike Turner. Like, every single guy you've ever heard in the music industry
cross paths with B.B. King.
Yes. Everybody from Mick Jagger on down to Ike Turner. That's how important this dude was. And he was kind of like a pretty humble dude all the way through. Same guy, same whatever. And old Blue Eyes went to his fucking... eventually, he had like House of Blues, but it was B.B. King's fucking House of Blues.
Right.
He had a bunch of those.
I remember B.B. King's House of Blues.
Right.
I remember that.
Right.
I almost want to say that the whole House of Blues... B.B. King was either part of it from the gate or... I'm telling you, bro, that he was a piece of that, and there was a room dedicated to B.B. King in the House of Blues, that either the stage or the lounge was named after B.B. King.
Listen, he knew, I think his name was Charles Franklin, he knew Aretha Franklin's dad. This dude crossed paths with every motherfucker had talent in the goddamn industry, white or black. And he's one of the first blues guys to go to Japan. And I mean, when you hear him tell stories about Japan, it sounds a lot like what Estevan and you were saying about Cypress Hill.
Hell yeah.
He said that these fucking Japanese people would just sit in a fucking seat quietly in between takes. And then as soon as he was like done, they would clap and loud, and then they would sit quietly again. And he was the first blues guy to go to fucking Soviet Russia and do a whole tour in Russia. Like real Russia. I don't know, man. Dude, not only did he play prison, but that was a routine thing. He had a ton of prison shows. And in fact, one of his children was in prison and sat in the audience to one of the prison shows that he played. Yeah.
That sounds like a great book. What a great life.
Yeah, B.B. King, it's called... B.B. King of the Blues, which is how he's always introduced. Oh. B.B. King, da-da-da-da-da. You know what? I'm going to play a couple of fucking, and you know, Blue Eyes, you can fucking not play it, play it, whatever you want to do, yeah. But you should put this.
Blue Eyes, you can do whatever you want.
All I'm trying to tell you is that I knew that he was good. I just didn't realize how important he was. Look at this. Listen to this one. All right, just... Yeah, this is... He said that he could hear a voice in his head. The whole idea of somebody being able to sing through the guitar, he started that shit. He said there's a second voice in his head. Oh, bro. Yeah, man. Back when... Hell yeah. You see old Blue Eyes? He doesn't overdo. No, man. Don't bring that book down on my balls. No way, bro. Mm-mm. Books are for reading, not for bleeding. Hey, books are for reading, not for bleeding. Hey, Blue Eyes. You think this is overly produced for B.B. King? What are your thoughts? You're a music man.
It's perfect.
He's got a lot of good albums. Let me go through some of his albums too for you. All right. I mean, let me see his. I'll tell you what some of the best ones are. B.B. King, Completely Well. That's one of his top albums. Let me tell you something, man. Hey, all you groovy cats out there. He's got so many albums, but How Blue Can You Get? That's a good one. He was one of the only guys that went and played for the Ali Kumbaya fucking Zaire fight or whatever the fuck that was. He was one of the only dudes that actually played that when a lot of other people fucking... First blues man to be on Ed Sullivan. Most people don't know what the fuck... Live and Well, bro. Live in Cook County Jail. Let's see. Let me get you a couple of ones that I think, personally, that I listen to that... I go, man, this fucking dude is the best. I mean, everybody knows this, right? No, not this one. Fuck this one. No, this one. Live and Well, the real one. Good is that? Come on. Yeah. So good, right? He's got that, right?
God damn.
Let me see if I can pull a couple of other ones.
It's gone away from me.
Let me see if I can pull a couple other ones on here. Live from the Regal, bro.
The thrill is gone.
Let me see if I can pull that. Live from a Regal is another great album by him.
The thrill is gone away.
If you really want to learn something, I mean, you know, you could still stay stupid.
Although I'll still live.
If you want to, I won't.
You're giving up way too much game, bro.
Nah, come on, bro. I got so much game that I have to give it up. I really can't keep it all because there's just too much. Every time I tell you about what I'm doing, you know what I mean? Every time I tell you, like, what I'm doing, it's like, it's just too crazy. Live from the Regal. The other one that he did, which is good, problem with Spotify is it's hard to find shit. Sometimes. Do you ever find
yes.
that?
Yes.
Do you ever find
definitely.
That?
Definitely. You do. Like, you can't expand things and, like, keep your place.
Right.
You always it's have like, to kind of go into a tunnel.
What's wrong?
That.
What is wrong with fucking Spotify? Like, I like Spotify because how else are you going to access all this shit? But the flip right. side is, it's like.
They huh? need, like, a advanced layout type thing.
Right.
Yeah.
They really do. So, Live at the Regal, that's a good one. The other one that's good is Live at Cook County Jail. That's a great one. B.B. King Wales is a good one. The book, it's called Wales. This guy produced and made so much fucking music. Hey! Yeah! Wow, boy. What? Porky in the house! Porky in the house. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to turn this off.
Oh, wait. Let's see what I'm trying. I want to find you one. Why? Don't do it yet. Don't do it, bro.
Come on, man.
No, bro. How about this? Let me see this one. Live at the Fillmore. Right? That's a good. Oh, bro.
What's that one where he talks about Lucille?
Oh, bro. That's Lucille. That's like his. That was his breakthrough.
Fuck, that's a good track.
When he did that one, that was like his breakthrough.
That's like on another level, bro.
Right.
It's like a story and he's playing. It's almost like a one-man routine, right? Like
right, talk blues.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah,
so
let's
good.
See, I got that
so
one
good.
Somewhere here.
It's like a story. It's like a fucking blues track. It's everything.
Yeah.
It's got history. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah, man, he fucking T-Bone Walker, Lightning Wolf, Stax, motherfucker, every guy you've ever heard of, he fucking absolutely fucking
Walker.
I mean, he's handled all of them. And in fact, that dude Albert King was no relation and then tried to fucking oh, here it is. Let me see this. How about this, bro? Try this one on and then no. Yeah, let's try this one on. Live at the Regal, if you're not
Ladies
stupid.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about a nice warm round of applause to welcome the world's greatest blues singer, the king of the blues, B.B. King!
Come on! This is how he would start like every show. Every day I have the blues.
Almost sounds fake, huh? It sounds so good. It sounds fake.
That his strongest, some of his strongest tracks are done live in front of the crowd, and the crowd's actually part of. He's got Live at the Apollo, which is pretty good. Dude, how about this one?
Every day.
That voice.
I got.
Every day I have the blues. Yeah. Every day.
Yeah.
I got to say something.
Go ahead, please.
I don't like horns in my blues.
He didn't either. He did a little bit and he didn't. And the strings, when you're listening to some of the stuff that went on, right? Some of its producers.
I'm sure it was like a big hall where they usually have like big bands. And they bring him in because he's going to draw that much, right?
Right.
And so they have the horns in to add a little flair or something. But man, he doesn't carry it on his own. Yeah, he doesn't need that shit.
How about this? How blue can you get? Played with Joan Baez. Man, he played with everybody, homie.
I mean, he was. How many fucking decades was he around?
He played with Bono on YouTube. That Love Comes to Town. Hey, man. I just want to let everybody know, you know. They don't call it hard luck for nothing, baby. Come on.
Yeah, that bass is carrying it.
Listen.
It's funny how you know it's.
Tell your story.
It's funny how.
Go ahead. Oh, blue. This is the blues in
Old
Blue.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, come on.
You listen to any other music, right?
That's right.
You know they need those drums, but here,
that's right.
You don't need no rhythm.
That's right.
You just need a timer.
Woo! Come on. Come on. I get up in the morning, get myself a drink. Gotta turn off everything I'm about to think. I just need to relax. I just gotta take it easy. I got one woman, but I need more easy. Hey, Pork, tell us your story, man. Get in here. Come on, Pork. Get on that mic and tell us your story, man. Tell it like it is, brother. Come on. My name is Pork.
Oh, man. You know what?
Go ahead, brother.
Where am I at?
Get in there. Get in there. You got a nice haircut. Come on, boy.
Well, gentlemen, by the grace of God, man, the Lord, he gave me another year. Today's my 60th birthday.
Hey, happy birthday, man.
So, you know what? I gotta say that I call him the big homie in the sky.
Yeah. I call him the big homie in the sky.
You know, and I believe deeply that that man up there has given me the opportunity to live to live 60 years,
yeah.
60 years on this earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. 60 years and too many tears.
I need my mic. And, oh, here we go.
And you know what? It's a real trip, man, because, you know, a lot of people talk
about...
You
like that? You like that right there?
A lot of people.
I got you like that little porky right there.
Yeah, I like that.
A lot of people.
What are you pointing at,
it's
man?
A lot of people talk about the cats have nine lives. You know,
Hey man, Porky's got 60.
I think pigs got more than that. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. They don't make bacon from cats, bro.
You want to go from the top?
You want to go from the top?
You want to go from the top? All right, let's go.